Hello, and welcome to the Life Center Podcast. We're a church in Tacoma, Washington that exists to inspire our community to love and follow Jesus. To find out more about what's going on at all of our campuses, you can download the Life Center app, interact with us on social media, or visit lifecenter.com. Let's jump into this week's message. Thanks for listening.
Well, hey, thanks for joining with us at Life Center. For those who are maybe new to Life Center is one church that meets in multiple locations, multiple languages across Pierce County. We're glad that you're here today. We are journeying through a series of messages that we've entitled Pause. And these messages, they all find the text from the book of Psalms. Psalms is an Old Testament book, 150 chapters that have different poems, different songs that often call us to pause and consider what is being expressed. And over the next few minutes, I want us to look together to Psalm 119. We're going to take some time today, and I've entitled today's message, A Stable Source. A Stable Source. And by the way, I'd love for you to take some notes if you have a pen or a piece of paper at home, or if you haven't yet downloaded the Life Center app, all of the notes and all of the scripture are already loaded in there. You can actually just fill in the blanks on those notes right from the Life Center app. In fact, if you haven't downloaded that, text 77977 and a link will come back to you. You can download that app from there or just go to your app store. And that's going to be important because at the conclusion of the message, I'm going to talk about some next steps on how we can put into practice what we're learning from scripture. In fact, last week, one of the next steps we talked about was doing a seven-day thankful challenge. 87% of people last weekend, whether you're at home or whether you were in person, 87% said that they were going to take that seven-day thankful challenge. What I loved earlier today at our first gathering, Chris walked in. She handed me this piece of paper, and she said, Tyler, I did it. And I looked at the piece of paper, and every day last week, there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 days of thankfulness on this piece of paper. What I love about that is watching people put into practice what we're learning from Scripture. So I want to talk about stability today and talking about a stable source. How many of us have ever faced a moment in life where we were unstable? Anybody ever been there? You ever been around somebody who wrestled with stability? A number of years ago, I had some friends who were into cycling, and they talked me into buying my very first road bike. And so I was all excited, and I bought the clip-in shoes, the clip-in pedals, and I was really, really, really excited to go out for my first ride. Before I did, they told me something. They said, Tyler, you're going to want to practice clipping in and unclipping from those pedals. And I looked at them somewhat offended. Here's why. When I went through driver's ed, I did not practice opening and closing the door, right? I mean, you open the door, you get in, you close the door. It's not that complicated. And they were like, no, Tyler, you're going to want to practice doing this. And I'm like, listen, don't insult my intelligence. I know how to get on and off a bike. A number of days go by. I'm out on a ride. Beautiful, beautiful sunny afternoon. And I pull up to this intersection. It's a massive intersection. Number of lanes coming in each direction. I'm in the left-hand turn lane and pull up to the line, unclip my left foot, just resting there, right foot still clipped in because I'm always ready to go when the light turns green. I reach down, grab a big drink of water from my water bottle. And you ever have one of those moments where you forgot where you were and what you were supposed to be doing? Because in that moment, I'm enjoying a drink of water. It's sunny out. I just ever so slightly shift weight to my right leg, which is still clipped in. The bike momentum pushes the bike frame this way. And guess who now finds himself laying on the ground in that intersection? I'm trying to get the other foot unclipped. As I'm trying to get unclipped, the light turns green. How many know I'm not feeling very stable at that moment? I'm pretty sure people behind me are taking photos, posting it online, going, oh, dude, look at this guy, right? That was me in that moment. You see, we never love the feeling of instability. And yet, the reality is, if we're going to be stable, we have to have a source of stability. And what I love about Psalm 119 is it reminds us about how God's word is that stable source. What I love about scripture is this. Listen, whether you're young or whether you're old, God's word brings you stability. Whether you're at a great point in life or you're at a desperate point in life, God's word brings stability. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background, doesn't matter your ethnicity. God's truth, God's word, speaks to the reality of who we are and what we need to hear. You see, what I love about scripture, even though it's old, it's not outdated. Listen, this book has been around for thousands of years. And throughout those years, what I love is even though it's old, even though there's ancient texts in here, what I love is that it continues to speak to the reality of who we are right now in 2020. You open it up and yes, it's old, but trust me, friends, it is not outdated. And why I'm so passionate about today's message is that often when we gather here at Life Center, every single week, we look to scripture to speak into the reality of what we face in life. But today, I want us to take some time to look at what scripture says about itself and what that means to us. Because scripture reminds us some important truths about God's word. You see, I grew up in a great environment. I grew up in a wonderful household. I grew up in this church. And I had incredible leaders in my life, had incredible pastors. But can I tell you, this book became living to me in college. See, even though I grew up in great environments and I had great opportunities, if I'm being transparent and honest today, there was a lot of times in junior high and high school where I would approach scripture a little bit like an assignment, like something that I had to do. And yet something happened in college. I remember finding myself early in the morning, spending time reading and consuming God's word. And it was like speaking so directly to where I was at, what I was journeying through. It was revealing things to me that I couldn't see in and of my own wisdom, my own ability. See, I want us to recognize something important today. Nothing will transform and equip your life like God's word. Nothing will transform and equip your life like scripture. There's some great self-help books out there. And although they provide some great wisdom, some great insight, it pales in comparison to what God's word can actually do. There's some great mentors available. There's people with great leadership perspective. There's so many different voices that we can look to, but there's nothing that can compare to the power of this book. See, the reality is, many of us, we know its significance. We know its prominence. People throughout time and history have tried to erase it and stamp it out, yet it continues to thrive. It continues to bring impact and transform lives. And sometimes when we encounter that dynamic, we know we should engage in it. Sometimes we throw up some objections. Maybe even though you know it's important, maybe you've shared some objections. Maybe you've said this, I don't have time. Tyler, I'd love to read it more. I'd love to engage more with scripture. I don't have time. Here's the funny thing that I've learned about life. I've never met somebody who gets 27 hours in their day. No matter how busy we are, no matter how much responsibility we have on our shoulders, no matter how many obligations we have on our calendar next week, listen, all of us have the same reality. We all have 24 hours a day. And what's interesting about each of us, we find time to fit into our schedule what's important to us. Maybe your objection is this. Have you ever heard this one? I don't like to read. I love this objection, by the way. I love when I'm having a conversation with somebody and they're wanting to move forward, and I'm saying, well, have you taken time to begin to read scripture? And I don't like to read. And usually when somebody says this to me, they're busy scrolling through Instagram reading the captions. Tyler, I don't really like to read unless it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the news headlines. Listen, we have no lack of reading in our culture. And so maybe if that's been your objection, step back for a moment, consider how much you actually read every day. I guarantee you it's more than you realize. What about this? I just don't know where to start. And listen, maybe you're a new follower of Jesus. Maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're trying to check this whole Jesus thing out and you're just exploring it. And that's a valid objection. I don't know where to start. I know for me, I had moments in junior high and high school where I'd come home from a camp, man, all excited. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to read the Bible. And I would start in Genesis. I'd start going through and I'd make it to about Leviticus. And I'd be like, what is going on around here? See, I want to remind you, if you're new to Scripture, Life Center actually has a Bible reading plan built into the app. It shows you where to start. And I would encourage you, if you're new to Scripture, start in the New Testament. It's the story of Jesus, his life, his works, his death, his resurrection. See, no matter what your objection may be, the good news is this. Scripture reveals something about how important its role is in each of our lives. So with that in mind, let's look to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Fun fact about this chapter, it is the longest chapter in the Bible. And so for the next 2 hours, I'm going to read verse by verse. No. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. In fact, it's longer than some of the books of the Bible, this one chapter. But the way that the Holy Spirit inspired this particular chapter, Psalms 119, it was an acrostic. It used the Hebrew alphabet, which had 22 letters. And so there's 22 sections in Psalm 119, and each section has a collection of 8 verses in each section. It's beautifully laid out. And yet the overarching theme is when we encounter God's word, when we apply God's voice, his truth, his precepts to our lives, it's transformative. Look at what it says. Psalms 119, starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Can you say word? Now, this is important. Sometimes in church, you'll hear people say things like scripture or the word of God. What are we referring to? We're referring to the Bible. And the psalmist is saying, how can a young man keep his way pure? And by the way, it's not just for men. This is for all of us as followers of Jesus. That's a common language reality in the Old Testament. You read through the book of Proverbs and there's a lot of messages to my son. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's only exclusively for men. How can a young person keep their way pure? By living according to your word. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart. Can you say whole heart? With my whole heart, I seek you. Listen, whatever is in the direction of your heart, it's leading the direction of your life. And the psalmist says, with my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Another translation says it this way. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. That I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. Think about that. God, your word, your truth, it's more valuable than silver, than gold. Goes on. I will meditate on your precepts and I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, as modern readers, we read verses like this, and it sounds like the author is really fixated on legalism, on law. And as followers of Jesus, we may find ourselves in this tension going, well, Tyler, I didn't think we were under law. I thought we were under grace. And listen, that is absolutely true. The word law here is actually the Hebrew word Torah. And so it's not law in the sense that often we apply it to. It's this idea of God's instruction, God's commandments, God's leading us and coaching us, mentoring us, laying out the best plan for your life. See, as we consider Scripture, each of us, every now and then, we need to pause and consider. Number one, what's my life actually built upon? There's a lot of things that we try to build life on. There's a lot of things that we look to find stability. Maybe you've been in a season or a time in your life where you were looking for stability and you ended up finding it in another person, a friend, a relationship, a spouse. And so you were leaning on that person to bring you the stability that your heart longed for. But what happened through that decision? Well, you found out that they were human just like you. Because the more that we lean on things that actually aren't designed to bring us stability, the more we realize those things fall short. And what I love about Scripture, it brings us stability. It brings us strength. And today, I want to share really quickly 5 ways that God's Word brings us stability. If you have notes, write these down. We're going to move quick. Here we go. Number one, God's Word is our foundation. Can you say foundation? Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about hearing God's word and then putting it into practice. He says this in Matthew chapter 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. God's word is a foundation. In other words, as I look to Scripture, here's what I love. It does not change. It doesn't shift. Do you know if you build your life on shifting truth, you will never find stability? Think about it. If you drive to work every day and you always drive down the same exact road, and some days the speed limit is 55, other days the speed limit is 15, and you never know what it's going to be, you're thankful that one day you were running late, it was 55 miles an hour because you got there on time. The next day, you thought you had more time, and so you're running even later, and now it's 15 miles an hour. How many know? You're going to be frustrated. See, what I love about God's word, it's a foundation that does not change. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, in the Message paraphrase it says this, "We have run for our very lives to God, and we have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go." What I love about Scripture, it reveals this hope, and we can hang on to it. It's a foundation that doesn't move. It doesn't shift. Later on in Hebrews chapter 13, it says this, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever." I don't know about you. I want the type of foundation on my house that is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I don't want a foundation that's going to move or shift. And that's what I love about God's word. God's word is our foundation. Number two, God's word is our food. Can you say food? God's word is our food. I love as Jesus is facing a season of temptation in the wilderness before his public ministry begins. The devil, the enemy of our souls, is there speaking to Jesus and bringing temptation towards him. And I love that he always responds with Scripture. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." In other words, Scripture is a source. It is what sustains us. This is how we live. This is what gives us what we need. God's word is food. Now, I don't know about you, but I definitely need to eat more than once a week. Anybody else? Come on, I see you at home right now. You're chewing on those Cheetos. We need to eat more than once a week. And yet, how many times in my life have I tried to go from Sunday to Sunday on one meal? How many times have I just eaten a meal as it's been prepared, and then I don't eat again until the next time I show up at church? And listen, that's great for those of us who are here every single week. What if you go a few weeks? Can I tell you, none of us will become in the shape and the health that we desire if we're only eating once a week. And the same is true spiritually. This is what I love about God's instruction to the people of Israel who were set free out of slavery from Egypt. As they're journeying through the wilderness, God provides miraculously this source of food called manna. God says this, here's what I want you to do. And instead of going out and trying to store it up, there's no Costco-sized barrels for you guys. I want you to go and collect it each and every day. In fact, God built into this process where if you tried to hoard it for more than a day, it would go bad. What's the principle there? Well, God wanted his people to pursue his provision daily. And what I love about scripture, listen, God has something fresh for you today, but tomorrow he's got something fresh for you then. And on Wednesday, he's going to have something fresh for you then. And on Friday, he's going to have something fresh for you then. What I love is that every time we engage with the scriptures, it feeds us. It's fresh for our lives. Number three, God's word is our mirror. Can you say mirror? God's word is our mirror. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4, that the word of God is living and active. This is what's so transformative about this book. It's living. In other words, there's times that I pick it up and I'm reading something that I've already read a number of times. And in that moment, in that day, it speaks something fresh to me right there. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division in the soul of spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning, check this out, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You see, for years, I thought it was about me reading the Bible. What I began to realize over time is that as I'm reading the Bible's actually reading me. It's like a mirror. There's times that I open it up and I'm like, ooh, man, I didn't see that attitude in me. Wow. Oh, man. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk with that condescending tone to those people. Okay. You see, it was revealing things that I actually couldn't see in myself. It reminded me of a time where after college, I went home to my parents' house and I was in their upstairs bathroom and looking in the mirror, and I noticed they had mounted something new to the wall. And I pull this little thing out, and you ever seen one of those high-powered mirrors? You know what I'm talking about? I'm looking, and I look like me in the normal mirror. And I pull this other mirror, and I flip this little light switch around it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, man. I did not even know that was on my face. I'm seeing things. Check this out. I'm seeing things that I couldn't see with my own eyes normally. You know that God's word is a mirror? Things that we can't see on our own, it begins to reveal attitudes and mindsets that need to be changed. It shows the disconnect between who God has called and created us to be compared to the life that we're currently walking in. It's a mirror. It's a mirror. Number four, God's word is our weapon. Come on, can you say weapon? God's word is our weapon. What I love is Jesus knows how to equip you to live life to the full. He gives us what we need. Paul is writing to this church in this city called Ephesus in the book of Ephesians. He's talking about the battle that we engage in as followers of Jesus, that the battle is not necessarily just against the people that you see or the situations that you can see with your own eyes. No, he reminds them there's a spiritual battle going on. There's an unseen battle going on. You see, if we want to engage in a spiritual battle, check this out, you have to have spiritual resources. So what does he say? Well, God has provided, Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Everybody say truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Say righteousness. And shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Can you say gospel? It goes on. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. You know, the devil loves to throw little fiery darts at you. And if you don't, by faith, take up what God has provided, those darts have a way of showing up every day. Those darts have a way of showing up every hour. Those darts have a way of showing up minute by minute. Take up the shield of faith. It goes on this, verse 17, and take on the helmet of salvation. If you've noticed everything up until that point, it's defensive. It's designed to help you stand your ground. The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You are in defensive mode. There's one thing, though, that God provides that's an offensive weapon. Notice what it says. It says in the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. There's one offensive weapon, and Scripture says it is what? It is a sword. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a real sword from Spain. It is heavy, which reminds me, I have respect for people who walked around in medieval times holding this, because this is no joke. And yet, this is not how Tyler describes Scripture. This is how Scripture describes itself. It says that we have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, when we show up in a spiritual battle, the one offensive weapon we have is a sword. And yet, here's the reality. If I show up and I've never practiced with this thing, I show up and I'm in the middle of a fight and I'm like, all right, here we go. And I just start swinging. You know I'm going to be in trouble. I'm probably going to inflict more harm to myself than any of my enemies. And yet, so often, here's what happens. We know the significance of God's word, but what do? We kind of put it on a bookshelf at home. Like, it's okay. Sunday's coming. And life gets busy. And isn't it interesting that battles show up not when we're asking for them? Anybody else experience this? It's not like they send you a little notification to your phone. Hey, by the way, next Tuesday, life is going to feel like it's falling apart. The battle shows up. And what do? We find ourselves kind of panicked. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Where's Scripture? Oh, here it is. We run back to it. Got to blow the dust off of it, right? You see, if you don't train with the weapon before the battle shows up, you're not going to be effective in the battle. And this is why we have to learn to engage with Scripture, not when the battle's going, but before the battle ever shows up. Why? So that when the battle shows up, we know how to use the resources that God has already made available. He's provided the sword of the Spirit, this one offensive weapon. But unless I train with it, I won't be effective in the battle. I won't be effective in the battle. Thanks, Matt. Fifth and final thing that God's word does. God's word is our teacher. God's word is our teacher. Teaches us. Speaks to us. Instructs us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege named Timothy. He says this, all Scripture. Can you say all Scripture? What that means is literally all Scripture. Paul uses this phrase, is breathed by God. Breath. All Scripture is breathed by God. It goes on, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What that means is, listen, as I'm journeying through all of Scripture, there's something in it. Yes, even in Leviticus, there's something in it that God wants to speak to you and teach you and equip you so that you can be prepared for every good work. A little bit later on in Psalm 119, the same chapter we're talking out of, Psalm 119 verses 105, it says this, that God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Anybody experience a little bit of darkness lately? Look at all the challenges in our city, all the challenges in our nation, all the challenges in our world. And if you're anything like me, you found yourself in moments going, man, I don't know where to step next. God, what's the right move? I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to say the wrong thing. God, I don't know what is required of me next. But when I come back to this place and I look in Scripture, I love that it reminds me, no, Tyler, I'm going to allow my word to be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you clarity. I'm going to teach you how to go. You see, Scripture is our teacher. Why? Because it teaches us God's plan for salvation. It teaches us that we are not the hero of our own story. It teaches us how much He loves us. It teaches us to do what is right. It teaches us how to live with character, integrity, and stability in life. And listen, today's invitation is an invitation to pause and ask, what is my life built on? You who are sitting at home right now, what is your life built on? Those who are in the room today, where are you finding that source of stability? I'm thankful that God's word is a foundation. It's our food. It's our mirror. It's our weapon. It's our teacher. Yeah, we could hear all of that, but if we don't actually do something with it, what happens? You become a little bit like me, ignoring the advice to actually practice clipping in and clipping out. So you could hear all of this truth about Scripture and say, well, I don't really need it. I'm good. Tyler, I'll just be back next week. Listen, there's stability for your life. But where is it that you're drawing that stability from? So look at this book. 66 books, two main divisions, Old Testament and New Testament, all working together with one cohesive story. And what is that? To point us to our true hope in the true hero, Jesus. Page after page, chapter after chapter, it's all working together to bring us to this place where we would put our hope in Jesus. Today, I want to invite you to grab your phone. I want to talk about a couple of next steps. So if you have that Life Center app, click that next steps page. Because here's what we believe. Whether you've been serving Jesus for 3 minutes or 3 decades, all of us have a next step. In other words, we all have something to do to put into practice with what we're learning from Scripture. And today, maybe this is your first time with us at Life Center, and maybe your next step is simply just filling this out and letting us know that you're with us so that we can connect with you. We'd love to do that. But others of us, maybe we've never made the decision to put our trust in Jesus. Maybe your next step today is to finally come back to that place of surrender that we were singing about earlier and making that choice, Jesus, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to say yes to you. Another next step would be that you're making the decision to start a Bible reading plan and start engaging this week. See, a lot of times why we never actually take the step to engage consistently in Scripture, we don't have a plan. We don't have a plan. And again, I want to remind you that the app has a Bible reading plan built into it. Not only that, if you download that Life Center app, every morning at 5 a.m., You can check a box and we will send you. There will be a push notification on your phone when you wake up with a devotional that will point you to Scripture. Why? Because we want to help you move forward in that. Here's a third next step. Making the decision to memorize Psalm 119, verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, maybe you've never engaged in the practice of memorizing Scripture. What I love about memorizing Scripture is when you find yourself in a battle, the sword is already with you. The weapon's already there. You know how to use it. You've been engaging with it. You've been training with it. So what is it? What next step are you going to take today? I'd love for everybody to make a decision to take a next step. Today, can I pray with you as we prepare to do that? Jesus, I thank you for how your word is living and active. Nothing transforms us and equips us like your word. And I pray that your word, just like years ago in 1998, while I was in college, your word became so alive to me. I pray that it would become alive to each and every individual. Lord, that our eyes would be open to the strength, to the instruction, to the way that it leads us and guides us. Lord, I pray that it would lead to a place of transformation and being equipped for every good work that you have for us. And I pray today, Jesus, for those individuals who are making that decision to say yes to you. Listen, if you're at home or you're in the room and that's your desire, you want to say yes to Jesus today, would you say the simple prayer with me? Would you repeat after me? Say, Jesus, thank you for loving me. I put my trust in you. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creation and help me to follow you every day of my life. In your name I pray. Amen.